Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
It's great to have you here. My holiday really started with some challenges. First of all, we got a cat. That's a massive breakthrough for the border months. God worked in my wife and my heart for many, many years. And eventually, our little girl, she's turning, where's she turning? Six, I think. Five. What? I can't even remember how old she is. But she tipped the scale. So the little kitten, cute as can be, came into our house. And the downside of kittens is they don't automatically know where the litter bin is. So the bedrooms take most of the flack, literally. Red pepper doesn't work. I'm saying this because we need advice, and I know afterwards people will rush to the front. I'll make a specific altar call for kitten advice. Some people already started to try and help, so I want to thank you for that. Then, what's the other thing that happened? This has got nothing to do with my sermon. I'm just warming you guys up and warming my voice up, so I'll eventually get to some preaching. What else happened? Kardu decided that he's going to bunny hop one of those little speed wobbles in Elan. And he did the first bunny, and the second hop he missed. And he looks like a little Hitler at the moment because he fell flat on his face like this. So he's teething. And his brother's teething as well, Hubert. So he's been broadcasting. Hubert's 11 years old. Hubert's been broadcasting the last 3 months on AM and FM, the same frequency during the night. He's turned night and day around. So if I look a bit teary-eyed, it's because my children has brought a lot of joy into our household the last couple of weeks. But nonetheless, we're here, and it's great to be in church. Maybe some of you's got similar stories or even worse stories than that. But I trust and I pray that the rest of those of you who are on holiday or your children are on holiday will be less eventful than mine. So I'm looking forward to preaching this morning. And I really want to talk about purpose this morning. Lord, I want to thank you that we can be in your house. And we want to thank you, God, that this church, Lord, stands on the foundation, your word, Lord, your truth. And Lord, that you build us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you form us. We thank you for the surgery that you're doing in our lives. And we thank you, Jesus, that you transform us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you took us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I pray tonight, Lord, that your word, Lord, will, Father God, will come and encourage us, Lord, and build us up and lift us up, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. So I want to talk about purpose this morning. And a certain man, Thomas Carlyle, you can go and Google him. I'm not really sure who he was. I think he was a Christian and then he became a deist. But he said something that is really true. He said, a man without purpose is like a ship without a rudder. You know, and you can picture that. That goes for individuals, that goes for companies, that goes for churches as well. If we don't know what our purpose is, we're like a ship without a rudder. You know, we just float around in the ocean and eventually we hit the rocks, or eventually we just beach out on the beach and get stuck there. Mark Twain, he was, I think he was a writer, or a poet, or some fanciful British guy who said nice stuff. He said, there's two important days in a person's life. The first is when you get born. And the second is when you realize why. You get that? And for us as a church, in the times that we live, it's so important that we understand that God has called us with a prophetic purpose. And that's the title of my sermon. We are like arrows in God's quiver. And I'll get to that in just a while. the major drive of the prophetic servants in the Bible was to stir the hearts of people so that they come back to God, to come back to the things of God, to come back to the heart of God, to come back to the purpose that God has for their lives. You know, in a morning like this, I really trust that when we are in God's presence, the calling that is on our lives, the purpose that God has destined for us, that He has predestined for us, becomes clearer every time we're in His presence. And when we are in our prayer closets, when we are intimate with the Lord ourselves, the calling in our lives must be clarified daily. It's something that God must highlight in our lives. It's something that God must sharpen in our lives. Because we're in a time where attack on our purpose is ferocious. We're supposed to be a city on a hill. We're supposed to be that light in darkness. We're supposed to bring hope for the hopeless, faith for the faithless, and we have to bring strength to the weak. And as I mentioned this morning, I wasn't planning on preaching about the Supreme High Court in America, and I'm not going to preach on that. I don't want to be distracted, but that is so typical of the times that we live in, where sin is celebrated, and God and the purposes of God are trampled because man deem himself to be wiser than God, and we call evil good and good evil. But that was prophesied as well, that those times will come. And God is challenging His church and saying, listen, church, I don't want you just to be a gathering of people, just to be another alternative of a club where you can come together and sing together and clap hands and fellowship and go home. When you come together, it's for a purpose. And when you go in your separate ways, in your separate directions, it is for a purpose as well. And as a people, we must know and we must understand what that purpose is. And each one of us have a specific purpose, a detailed purpose. As churches, we have different purposes as well. This church has been called to be a watchman on the wall, to be a prophetic watchman on the wall, to stand and to speak. And I want to talk about that today. You know, and the world does what it's supposed to do. The world slanders the people of God, and it slanders the truth of God and the word of God. And it does it very effectively. It wants to bring the church of Jesus Christ to its knees. That is the devil's agenda, is to obliterate the church of Jesus Christ. But praise God, that has been prophesied as well. It will never happen. The church of Jesus Christ will never go down, because Christ is for us. But a bigger problem that I see in the world is not what the world says. It's the way that the church responds to the things that the world is saying. We have a major problem when the church itself starts to agree with the things that the world say against the church, against the truth, against the word of God, against the Bible. When the church are lamed and the church are hamstrung and doesn't know how to respond in certain times and certain seasons. And I pray that God in this time will give us the wisdom that we need, will give us the diligence and the vigilance to keep on standing and speaking the truth of Jesus Christ, regardless of what it means to us. Because the church of Jesus Christ, you and me, we're actually on a suicide mission. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. We're supposed to become less so that Christ should become more. I should die to self. I should die to the fear of man. I should die to the things that the world throws at me and not let it influence me. That is the purpose of Jesus Christ, is to be a light. I want to read two scriptures here, the one in Romans 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And you know, church, many times, you know, we are, it's not awestruck. What is the other word when you like just go, like bombshelled, no? Who's means is a bomb langs jou ontplof, man? Shell-shocked, that's the word. And it's got nothing to do with the things on the beach. It's a shell shock. It's when that bomb explodes next to you and there's just this ringing in your ear. And there's many things happening in our families, many things happening in our marriages, many things happening at our work or in society. That's like a massive bomb that explodes next to us. And then, you know, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. You're in a discussion around the braai, and all of a sudden, you know, people start talking rubbish about God and rubbish about the church. And you keep quiet because it's like a bomb exploding. All of a sudden, everything in your head's just going. And I really trust that we come to that place that where we are so filled with the Spirit of God that we can respond. We can speak the truth. We can speak the truth in love. We can confront people in love. And not just keep quiet. You know, there's a word in the world that people so love to use, say we have to be tolerant. Tolerance is a swear word. Really? I believe tolerance is like, well, the way that the world throws it at the church. Tolerance is like a farmer having a field. And the field's got so much potential, but he doesn't sow any seed in that field. And then he hopes something's going to happen. He hopes something's going to come up. But the only thing that comes up that I've seen that. I've grown up on a farm. The only thing that comes up that you don't sow is weeds. Patience is another thing. I believe God wants us to have patience and love and endurance. But we shouldn't tolerate sin. With patience, we should sow our seed and then wait. Wait for a harvest to come up. Lovingly care, lovingly confront, lovingly speak. That's the purpose of the church. And the Spirit helps us to say the right things at the right times. Do not neglect the discipline of praying in the Spirit. Driving in your car, being in your prayer closet, praying in the Spirit, stirring up the gifts inside of you. It's amazing how fluent we become when we allow the Spirit to work in us and through us. When we read the word and the word gets stuck in our being and become part of us. Verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That is our main purpose, people, is to become like the Son of Man, to become like Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God as well, who became human for us, to set an example. That is our main purpose, is to accept Jesus Christ. To celebrate our salvation, to allow Christ to come into our lives and change us from glory to glory, transforming us every day and every night to become more and more like Jesus Christ. A gift that is not to be neglected. And the next purpose is in that state of our salvation, to be filled with the joy of Christ, to share it with other people and give other people an opportunity and a platform from where they can be transformed and changed into the image of God as well, into the image of Jesus Christ. And those, verse 30, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you notice that in that scripture, God does all the work? He changes us, he transforms us, he glorifies us. Humbly, we have to follow. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14, the purpose of the church. I hope to come to you, it's Paul speaking, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. People, that is the purpose of the church, is to stand and remain standing on the truth and with the truth and be a light to a world that is hungry. And when the world shines darker, if you can shine darker, the church of Jesus Christ should shine brighter. I want to read this scripture in 1 Samuel 17 verse 1. And most of us know the story about David and Goliath. But before we get there, and I will connect the dots in just a while. I think it was last week or the week before. No, it was the week before. When was that long weekend? Was it last week? Doesn't matter anyway. I cycled to Wellington, and the plan was to cycle over Baines Kloof to my in-laws on the other side of Baines Kloof. My family were there already, Alida and the kids. But darkness shined very brightly on me, and I didn't have a light. So I stopped at the bottom, just as you go through Wellington. And I don't know who of you have driven through Baines Kloof. Anyone? Do you know where Baines Kloof is? Baines Kloof, yes. If you haven't done it, do yourself a favor and drive through there. Beautiful, beautiful, during the day. So she picked me up, and as she picked me up, she said, yes, the fog, the same as fog of mist. Saladin. Gaan ons vir fog gaan. Fog, dankie. The fog was so thick, you couldn't see, like 2 meters in front of you. So we drove up there, and if it wasn't for the fog and my wife driving, it would have been really a romantic moment. Because you know on the right side is this afgrond, man, this precipice. Oh my goodness, yes, that even makes it sound worse. This 50 or sometimes 100 meter drop. Okay, so you can't see it. You just know it's there. And praise God for whoever has done the road over, because they've placed those cat eyes in the road. Okay? So all we had to do was drive from cat eye to cat eye and trust that there be cat eyes. Now, obviously, we've driven that road, so we know some of the bends very well. But I was just thinking to myself, because I usually start thinking during such tense moments. Otherwise, I would have been sleeping. But I was thinking, you know, if we didn't know this road, how do we know that this road was finished? You know, that some guy has not finished the road. Somewhere ahead, there's a dead end, and there's that 100 feet drop or whatever. But we had to trust whoever built that road, and we had to trust from cat eye to cat eye. It was really eerie. I actually told her the only thing we need now, you know, is like, you remember the Blair Witch Project? I don't know if you watched those things. I just saw the voorprente. I said, the only thing we need now is a guy in a kabuki mask to jump in front of us. You know, that would really make the evening. She just said, shut up, I'm driving. Do you know what a kabuki mask is? If you've watched Big Hero 6, you've got kids, you've watched Big Hero 6. Kabuki mask is that thing that that the bad guy wears. You don't know what a kabuki mask is. It's like a, it's like these African artifacts that people bring from Africa when they go on missions, and then after a while your house, you know, things become weird, and then the church tells you to burn it because it might be cursed or whatever. And you get some of them coming from, I think from the Pacific Oceans. They more kabuki mask thingies. You know, it's where the policeman, he sits in Big Hero 6, and then Hero comes, him and Baymax, and then he says, and you'll realize I've watched this over and over again. So you're trying to tell me that a man in a kabuki mask attacked you with an army of micro robots using ESP. You haven't, go watch Big Hero 6. Anyway, so So the cat eye is the thing I want you to focus on, not the kabuki mask. I'm going to read this and I'm going to get back to the cat eye thing. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath. That just sounds scary already. Goliath of Gath. Whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he was wearing a kabuki mask. He had a helmet of bronze on his head with a kabuki mask, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. Now here's this Goliath coming in, and I didn't put everything in there. And he's beaming with confidence. He walks down this valley, and he screamed, but he's cursing the armies of God, and he's challenging them, and he's taunting them. You know, and he's this intimidating figure, and he's got confidence beaming out of him, big time, like the beamer's weave that he's having in his hand or whatever, wherever he carry that thing. And you know, it reminded me that Goliath, before he came to this part of his life, he had certain training. He had certain events in his life. I don't know how he grew up. I don't know how big he was when he was born. You know, you don't know what his mother went through or how big she was when, you know, I don't know. But he was brought up in a certain way, in a certain culture. And that culture formed him, and it brought him to this place. Eventually, this was his final stand. We know the story. But beaming with confidence. And I'm thinking, you know, we as people in the culture that we live in, the same thing. There's certain things that is supposed to form our confidence, and we're looking for that confidence in many stuff. You know, we've got a fitness craze, in our lives, and I'm not mocking that. We all need to be fit, but we're looking for that confidence in the way that we look, in the way that we feel, how our six packs looks, and how big our muscles are, or how slim we are, or whatever it is, or the makeup that we wear, or the clothes that we wear. So many things that help to dictate and form our confidence. And he was a man of confidence as well. Now enters David. And I want you to see the contrast. Now David was the son of an Ephratite. Ephratah was just another name for Bethlehem. I think it was an old name for Bethlehem. An Ephratite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. David was the youngest. The 3 elders followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now, we are a generation that really need to be, I wouldn't say pampered, but we need to know how great we are. We need someone to build up our self-esteem. We need our parents to tell us how good we are, our teachers, or whoever speak into our life. And that must happen. Don't get me wrong. But I'm thinking about David, and I'm thinking about his culture and where he came from. And we know that his dad didn't rate him very high. Neither did his brothers. We know that by the time that Samuel came to anoint him to be king, they didn't even bring him out as an option. The father held the other sons before him. So I don't know how much his father spoke into his destiny and told him, you know, I don't think he said that to him. You're not going to be king of Israel one day, and you're going to kill the giant and what. You know, I don't think that really happened. But what we do know about David was a man after God's own heart. So somewhere, the gospel stuck in his heart, and he pursued it with might. While Goliath was training with sword and spear and being in the best gyms probably, and, you know, just building up a fleshly outside confidence, here we have David, who's looking after the sheep, doing mundane tasks, and his character and his confidence being built up by that. He plays the harp. He's the musician playing the harp. He's got to look after the sheep, and he's the errand boy. He's the one that's got to run to and fro between the battlefield and the sheep and bring news and take food to his father. But the difference between these two warriors was that David was a warrior in the spirit. The time that David spent in the presence of God is what gave him the confidence. So enters David on that battlefield with confidence as well. But it's a different confidence. It's a confidence that he got from being in the presence of God, seeking God. Because he was in the presence of God, he was able to kill the bear and the lion. That was a cat eyes in his life. Just taking little step by little step and being faithful in the little things, the mundane things. Now, I don't think killing a bear and a lion is that mundane. Think about it. It's pretty hectic. But he probably started with sparrows and eisterfarkies and little stuff, you know, with his slingshot. He honed his skills. But the presence of God and the relationship with God was a massive part of his preparation. And you know, as people, us many times, we want the whole picture. We want to know from our birth to our death how this IMAX is playing out so that I can plan accordingly in safety and security. And God doesn't work that way. And I believe it's on purpose that he doesn't say, you know, Rick, this is, oh, look how cute you were when you were born. Oh my goodness, look how you look on your deathbed. Man, that is not a sight for sore eyes. Whoa. God doesn't do that. He hasn't shown me my whole life. And he does that so that I can trust in him and I can have faith in him, that I can move from cat eye to cat eye, even if the kabuki mask jump in front of me. People, and this is the question that I'm asking. Are you dancing like Goliath or are you dancing like David in life? Because each one of us will have those valley moments. Those moments when we have to confront our enemy, when we have to confront our fear, when we have to confront those who differ from us. And the outcome of that confrontation is directly dependent on the way that we dance in life. Most of us, we dance with the world. And then Jesus came and he cut in and he said, enough. I'm going to finish this dance. I'm going to dance with you. And from now on, I'm going to whisper in your ear. I'm going to go and I'm going to leave my spirit here so that the Holy Spirit can whisper in your ear. So I'm asking you this morning, who is whispering in your ear? Are we dancing with the world? Are we dancing with the enemy without knowing that? Are we dancing with Jesus and the Spirit of Christ whispering in our ears? Building the confidence, preparing us for every encounter, for every bear, for every lion, for every Goliath, taking us from cat eye to cat eye. And are you at the moment experiencing that you're moving from glory to glory? Because I believe there's people among us that God has called to stand in the gap, to intercede, to be prayer warriors. But the enemy has come and he silenced you. Somehow you've been intimidated. Somehow he's sown seeds of fear to come into your life. And I believe God's going to break that in our lives. We have a voice. You have a voice. I have a voice. The shofar have a sound to make. And it will blow loud and it will blow clear. We can't just be a religious institution of fellowship and having coffee and patting one another on the back and saying, you know, we're okay. We have to come into real accountable relationships, challenging one another, helping one another to keep pursuing the purpose that Christ has placed on our lives.
You know, God took David step by step. Goliath eventually prepared him for the time with Saul. He was chased into caves and into the desert, and that time prepared him and his men to become king eventually. That was his boot camp. The time that David spent with the Lord helped him to prepare his men. And it so speaks for me of the purpose that God has given this church to raise up disciples and leaders. If you and me, if we don't spend time with God, we won't have the confidence to reach the nations and the generations, to raise up leaders, to disciple people and to plant churches. And each one of us, if you said yes to be a member in this church, if you said yes to be part of this church, that anointing rests on your life because you know of that unction, you know of something stirring in your heart, an urgency inside of you. But we get distracted. We get distracted when we start to dance with the world. Hebrews 5, verse 7 to 8. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus learned obedience by his suffering. Should we be any different? When we go through tough times, let us rejoice. Let us say, thank you, God. Thank you that you are placing me in the furnace and you are sharpening me, Lord, like an arrow in your quiver again, Lord. God, I want to be ready to be shot at the target that you intended for me to penetrate, to change. I want to be ready for that, Lord. So God, I want to embrace the process that I'm going through now. No more am I going to complain and say, God, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why am I not doing that, Lord? I'm going to embrace the moment. I'm going to embrace the purpose and saying, God, thank you. Thank you that I'm here right now, in this moment, at this time. Thank you that you've placed my family here. Thank you, God, that I can be a prophetic voice in the wilderness. Jesus, I thank you for that and I embrace that. It's a decision that each and everyone has to make. You know, because, and I say this with respect as well, because I spend a lot of time in the coffee rooms of this town as well. But beyond those double lattes and us staring at our smartphones, there's always a valley waiting for us where there's a giant. Whether it's in your family, whether it's in your business, whether it's just on the street, whether it's on social media. How do we confront that? What are the confidence and the faith with which we attack our enemy? How do we battle the powers and the principalities in the air? Do we still do that? Or are we like the world is trying to say, there is no devil, there is no hell, there is no demons, there is no spiritual influence on our lives? Are we believing that lie? Are we able to skillfully be arrows in God's quiver that can be shot to a target and hit it? Are we skillful swords that can be used to cut between the lie and the truth? Is our words trained to be able to speak into situations and to bring about change? Acts 17 verse 28 is one of my favorite portions of scripture. In Christ Jesus we live, we move, and we have our being. For we are indeed his offspring, is what the poets have said. In Christ, and you see the dancing there. In Christ we live, we move, and we have our being. People, are you challenged this morning? Okay, the four of you, praise Jesus. Thomas Merton said the following, if you want to identify me, ask me not where I live or what I like to eat or how I comb my hair, but ask me what I'm living for in detail. Ask me what I think is keeping me from living fully for the thing I want to live for. I'm speaking about the prophetic voice that God has given us, being like prophetic arrows in the quiver of God. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. There's many of us we're down. Not out, we're down. We're quiet. There's something burning on your inside. There's a godly anger many times. There's a compassion many times burning on your inside, but you don't know how to voice that. You don't know how to go over in action. Because the confidence that we carry is not the confidence from God. We like Rocky, not like the mountains, like the movie. It's an old movie for the younger people. We have seen Rocky. You see. Praise the Here, these young men that have seen Rocky. Rocky is this fighter. He's this boxer. You know, and he always comes up against people that's bigger and stronger than him. Dolph Lundgren, that Russian with the six-pack, and you can beat him, but he's like granite. You can't kill him, but don't know. And Rocky always gets beaten to a pulp that his face looks like a prune, purple, and he can't see, and then he screams at his wife, Adrian! And then he gets up, and then he fights again. You know, and many of you is like that at the moment. You're down, but you're not out. You know, you're on your knee. You're on your knee, and God is saying, get up, get up. And you're getting up, and you're getting up, and I don't know what you're going to scream. Alida! We have to scream, Jesus! And we've got to fight again. You've got to find the Spirit inside of you. You're not out. You're down, but you're not out. You've got a voice. You've got a voice, and that voice needs to be heard. You've got to speak to your wife. You've got to speak to your children. You've got to speak to your husband in love. Don't preach at them. My wife always say, don't preach at me now. Don't preach. But there's people that's waiting for the truth. That's people that needs to be confronted, not tolerated, at your work, wherever you are. And you will know how to speak to people when you spend time with Jesus Christ. Christ will give you the strategy. Christ will tell you, no, today you will not speak the same way to this person like you spoke to that person yesterday. Yes, maybe you had breakthrough with that person when you said that and that and that. But today, you're just going to take them a cupcake. That's what they want at the moment. We need to come back to that secret place of the Most High and spend time with our Lord. Matthew 26 verse 40 to 41. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now Psalm 127. And this is so precious for me at this time. For us being arrows in the quiver of our Father. Here it speaks about our children and the potential that our children have in this world. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And I believe that is what God is telling us right now. He's saying, do not fear, do not be intimidated. You are the potential that I have in my quiver. The other day at intercession, we were praying for the mission teams, and we saw this picture of the archers or the bowmen standing on the wall. And as our mission teams go out, and you picture them with their blue shirts with the map on, and little groups going out all over into the world. The watchman standing on the wall has the responsibility to take out the enemies before they reach our people. You know, and very few people come to intercession. And I trust that even if you don't come to intercession, you pray for the mission teams at this stage. You pray for the people that's going out. I trust that you do not neglect when somebody has asked you to pray for them, to intercede for them. Because you are like that sniper lying on the wall with your telescope zoned in on the enemy, and you take them out before they come to our people. And from time to time, you are the one that's going into the field. You are the one that are being shot like an arrow into the field. And there where you land, you cause a ripple effect. There where you land, you influence. There where you land, you penetrate and you bring about change. Because you carry the living God inside of you. Your words carry life. Your voice carry life. God intends for us to have an atomic influence. Not like atomic bomb, more like boom. Let the world be shell-shocked, not us. But it starts with that place where we intercede, where we are watchmen on the wall, where we pray, where we look out to the front and we look out to the side to other watchmen. Because that was the disturbing picture. There was massive gaps on that wall. Where prayer warriors were supposed to stand with their bows drawn, waiting for the command of their leader to say, shoot now. Shoot the purpose. Shoot the enemy. Whatever the order is. But so many people got distracted. So many people decided, I'm going to get off this wall of prayer. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. Maybe God has designated you to pray for one specific family, for a father or a mother or a grandfather or a grandmother or a child or a partner in business or someone or a group of people. Maybe God has designated you to pray for this nation or this continent or the nations. He's placed that burden on your inside. But the enemy has silenced you. And that's all he wants. Because if he can get you to taste defeat and be out of this one battle, you will not fight the thousand other battles that's on its way. And God is drawing a line and saying, no, I'm raising up my people again. I'm raising up my watchmen again. My people will be a people of prayer. This will be a house of prayer. We will, almost like Winston Churchill said, we will fight them on the beaches and we will fight them in the air. People, wherever we go, we need to be people of prayer. We cannot make business decisions without seeking God's face. We cannot decide who we're going to marry on only looking at looks. We have to seek God. Is this person equally yoked to me? Is she going to distract me? Is he going to distract me? Or are they going to help me to be catapulted into the purpose that God has for me? Whatever it is, we've got to go to our knees, people. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3 to 4. Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test, I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. People, I love the way that God works with us. He will make you write a test, and if you fail it, he will not flunk you. He will make you write that test again until you pass it. That was one of the other pictures that we saw at intercession. God stood with his, well, can't say it was God, but that's what it represented to us. God stood with his bow, arched. You say that? Drawn. His bow was drawn. And the arrow was ready. But then this arrow started sprouting little twigs and leaves on its side. And if you think about it, it's pretty miraculous when an arrow starts, that is dead wood, starts sprouting leaves and twigs on the side. But it makes that arrow ineffective. And that just represents distraction to me. Good distractions, bad distractions. What was the last thing that God told you to do? And have you done it? Have you completed that mission? If not, you've got to go back there. Because in the meantime, our arrows are growing twigs. And that thing will not be released from the bow. It cannot be released. And when it's released, it will not be aerodynamic. It will not hit its target. So I believe God is busy in all of our lives, and He's taking us as arrows, and He's taking a knife, He's taking His word, He's taking His truth, He's taking circumstances, whatever He takes to make everything work to the glory of God. And He's cleaning that arrow. He's cleaning that arrow so that you and me and this church become effective again in the prophetic voice. To be smooth, to be shot out by what He says. 2 Corinthians 10. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. I'm just going to read that. That's all I want to say is we have an influence. And then just regarding watchmen, there's two scriptures I want to read. In Isaiah 56, we read about leaders that's asleep. We read about people whose disposition are not favorable to be watchmen. All you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forest, His watchmen are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are all silent dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough. But they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. Come, they say, let me get wine. Let us fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure. Watchmen supposed to be on the wall. Watchmen supposed to intercede and to be awake and to be alert. And then in Isaiah 62, there's the opposite. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And those who gather it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones. Lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Please go and read that at home again. God is saying, I want my people to be on the wall, to be alert, to be praying, to be a people seeking my face, seeking my presence, humbling themselves. And we know in another place, God says, when we humble ourselves and we pray, he will heal our land. And America is not the only country that needs prayer. Our country needs prayer as well. We're a desperate nation in need of prayer. And the Church of Jesus Christ cannot be silent. We cannot be silent, especially in the spiritual. We cannot be silent in our prayers. We cannot allow the enemy to take us out in our prayer life. Rob, can you guys? Rob was sitting there. Then he got teleported over there. Where's the rest of the band? You know, we're living in a time that Matthew 24, Jesus, he warned us about. Verse 10 says, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And this morning, as we're closing, I want us to respond to the message this morning. I want us to make a commitment to the Lord again and say, God, I'm not on the wall anymore. I'm not sharp, I'm not alert, I'm not discerning. The world is changing around me, and God, I've become oblivious. It's happening in other places, it's happening to other people. It doesn't concern me. But it does. When one part of the body suffers, everyone suffers. And I want us to make that commitment before God this morning. I don't know how you're going to do it. If you want to stand up, if you want to come to the front, kneel, speak to God where you are. And I can't force you to do that. I can't say, listen, get back on the wall or have something of you revoked. Can't do that. But if God spoke to you, if His Spirit spoke in your heart, I want you to make that commitment again. That commitment to a fervent, diligent prayer life. And not just a prayer life for you and your family and your own issues, but look beyond that. Look to where God is moving. Look to what He's doing. Look to what the church is doing. Look to what this church is doing. And ask the Spirit to stir on your inside again a zeal and a compassion and a sharpness. If you like that leafy twig arrow, you're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be sharp. This morning, come before the Lord and say, God, here I am. I know I was destined to be an arrow, to be shot by You, Lord, into a direction to have an influence. But currently, I'm feeling like a leafy twig. I'm off direction. I'm off target. It feels that every time I try something, it just falls here at the bottom of the wall. And maybe you're an archer, maybe you're a bowman, maybe you're a watchman standing on the wall. And your bow is drawn, but your arms are getting tired because God has not yet said release. And your patience is running thin. But you're so faithful on that wall. You're so faithful standing there, but you're getting tired. And you're feeling all alone. You're feeling, you know, I've been praying for this church. I've been praying for the salvation of a person. I've been praying for this nation. I've been praying for the leadership of this nation. And I don't see any change. I'm going to give up. This morning, I want to encourage you and I want to say, don't give up. And don't take your eye off that target. But maybe just move your arm as a signal to the one on your right or your left, hoping that there's someone like Aaron and Hur that can hold up the arms of Moses. If you're an intercessor and you're tired, I want to pray for you this morning specifically as well. I want you to come to the front as well and to tell somebody, you know, I've been praying, but I want to give up. Because the more I pray, the more bad news I see. God has not called us to judge the bad news. He's called us to intercede. Don't you worry about the results. You don't know about other people praying and prayers being added together and eventually be poured out and God bringing a mighty deliverance. But as people, we have to remain faithful. So this morning I want you to either commit to get back on the wall. If you've never been on the wall, I invite you to get on that wall. That wall just representing a place where we stand and we alert and we awake. And our senses know what's going on around us, not just in the physical, but in the spiritual as well. That place where you say, I will see God's face diligently every morning. Before I go out my front door, I will spend time with the Lord. And before I go to bed, I will spend time with the Lord. And during the day, I commit to pray in the Spirit as I go about. That place where you celebrate the mundane things, that place where you celebrate the little things. Not just running after the big things of the Lord. Saying, God, I thank you. I thank you for deliverance in this area of my life. I thank you for healing in this area of my life. Having a vibrant relationship with the Lord. Can we stand in this place? Father God, I want to thank you that this morning, Lord, you challenge us, Lord. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that this morning, Lord, your Spirit come and you stir, Lord, the voice inside of us again, Lord. You stir the truth inside of us again, Lord. God, this morning I want to pray, Lord, for every watchman, Father God, Lord, that's standing on the wall, but they've become tired, Lord. If you like that this morning, you know, I've been called to pray. I'm a praying person, but, you know, I really want to, but lately I've just become tired. Just raise your hand quickly. Just say, that's me. Okay, there's a lot of hands going up. Okay, keep it up like that, and then I want you to come to the front. Step out. Come to the front. Please, don't be shy. It's not to show off. Well, praise Jesus. Now, can I have people to surround them as well, please? Step out. Just come and lay your hands on them. You come, please. Everybody must have somebody with a hand on them. Bianca, can you look? Come, please. Okay, there's still some more people here. Doesn't matter who you are, just I want a hand on people. Annelies, come. Rueda, Hakim, come. Just put your hands on people, just lay your hands on them. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for every precious person here, Father God. I want to thank you, Father God, that they represent, Lord, men and women, Lord, standing on the wall, God. I want to thank you, Father God, that they've been praying, Lord, diligently, Lord. I want to thank you for the things that you've shown them, Lord. I want to thank you, Father God, for every picture, Father God, that you've shown them, Lord, and in which, Lord, they've prayed so fervently and so diligently and so effectively, Lord. But right now, Father God, your servants, Lord, are raising their hands and they're saying, God, we're losing focus. God, we're tired, God. God, it's getting cold on this wall. God, I need a relief, Lord. I need somebody, Father God. I need company, Father God. I feel so alone, Lord. I feel that I'm standing on my own, Lord. And God, I don't see results, Lord. I hear the enemy taunting, Father God, and I see, Father God, Lord, I just see, Father God, the darkness, Father God, Lord, coming in. And Father God, there's fear many times that's taking hold of my life. There's intimidation, Father God, many times taking hold of my life, Lord. And today, Father God, I'm shooting up that flare and I'm saying, Lord, I need deliverance myself as well, Lord. I need strengthening, Lord. And Holy Spirit, this morning I ask you that you will come and that you will touch, Lord, every person that has raised their hand, Lord, to be a watchman, to be an intercessor, Lord, to be a prophetic voice, to speak, Lord. And Father God, as a church, can I ask you, if you're not standing in the front, to just put out your hands to the people and pray for them. I want you to pray in the Spirit now. If God's showing you something for people here, please feel free to come and share it with them. Father, I want to thank you today, Father God, Lord, that we can come as a church, Lord, and we can surround them and we can honor them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We know, Father God, Lord, they pray, Father God, in the early mornings, and they pray, Father God, late at night, Lord, and people don't see them, Lord, but their prayers, Father God, Lord, keep, Father God, this country from falling apart, Lord. Keep this church from falling apart, Lord. Keep leadership from falling apart, Lord. Keep families and marriages from falling apart, Lord. And we want to honor them for that today, Father God. But Holy Spirit, I want to pray that you will anoint them freshly, Lord. This morning, Lord, freshly. During this day, freshly, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. That you will, Father God, give them new strategy, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Stir in them, Father God, an excitement, Lord, to intercede, Lord. To intercede, Father God, for that designated target, Lord, that you intended them, Lord, to pray into and to pray through, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Father, I want to pray for each one of them, Lord, that God distracted, Lord. Father God, that there's a part of their being that maybe just started to dance, Lord, with the world. Once again, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they will experience how you love them, Jesus, how you embrace them, how you take them into, Father God, into your arms. And Jesus, how you speak into their ears, how you're the one that whisper, Lord. How you whisper the love, how you whisper the confidence, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you're standing behind the people, just come stand in front of them. And I want you just to speak a blessing over them. If you're standing in front as an intercessor and you want something specifically that you know you want people to pray for, then humble yourself right now and say, I want you to speak into that area of my life. If you didn't respond to this and you're out there, I'm not gonna call you to the front right now, but if you like, you know, I want to get on that wall, I want to be an intercessor to God, I just want you to say, that's me. I know I need to be a prayer warrior. Just raise your hand, just say, that's me. That's me. Okay, if people raise their hands, the people around them, just please lay a hand on them. I just want to pray over them as well. Okay, keep your hand up until somebody touches you. Okay, people, look around you. There's people around you that's put up their hands. Just put your hand on them. Just put your hand on them. There's somebody there. Thank you. Father, I want to thank you for people that's responding, Lord, to be prayer warriors, Lord. I want to thank you for people who's responding, Lord, to get on that wall, Lord, and to start, Lord, in that place of intimacy with you, Lord, to intercede and to pray, Father God. And I pray, God, that they will be equipped. I pray, Father God, Lord, that in their small groups, Father God, you will give them that opportunity, Lord, where they can, Father God, be the ones that lead, that speak, that give prophetic direction. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will release, Lord, release, Father God, upon them, Lord, just a prophetic voice, Lord. Father God, to release, Lord, arrows, Lord, of truth, Lord, into situations, Lord. Father God, to see things, Father God, that's going to take place, Lord, that, Father God, that the rest of people don't even know about, Lord, but they, Father God, know about it and they can speak into that areas, Lord. I want to pray, God, that you will place an anointing on them, Father God, Lord, to prevent disasters from taking place, Lord, because you've shown it to them, Lord, and they've addressed that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Then lastly, I just want to invite people, if you're here today and your relationship with Jesus is not alive. When I mentioned dancing with the world, you say, that was me. You know, we always give an opportunity for people to come and make right with Christ. And I want to give that opportunity right now as well. We're going to dismiss in just a while, but I want to give that opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Him, you're dancing with this world, you're not experiencing the dance of Christ, then I want you to come to the front. If that's you, maybe God has been speaking about you, just making right with Him. Not even just this morning, but during this whole week. If you're here this morning, Can you maybe just raise your hand as well? Just wave at me. Just say, you know, I want prayer. I want you to pray for me because I know my relationship with Christ isn't right. If that's you. Okay. Okay. Okay, and as they're finishing up, just the last thing before we close. Bianca just came to the front as we were finishing the worship during the beginning, and she just felt strongly God wants us to pray for our children and to lay hands on our kids. So if there's children in the house, I don't know if there's kids, there's some children up there in the mother's room and in the toddler's room. I just want us to pray for our kids this morning. So that's the last thing that I want from us. It's just that 2-2 or 3-3, you speak into the destiny of the children, not just of this church, but the destiny of children all over. See children before you. See a nephew or a brother, a little brother or a sister or a family or somebody that you know. And I want you to speak right now. Speak. Be a voice and speak into that child's destiny. Bring that child before Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I bring this child before you and I take him from any quiver of this world and I place him in your quiver, God. I want you to take this child, Lord, and I want you, Father God, to clean out, Lord, every twig and every leaf from this child that's preventing this child from fulfilling its destiny. In Jesus' name. So just for the next 2 to 3 minutes, let's intercede for our children and for their destiny. You can sit down or you can stand, but let's just do that effectively.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.